Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
The Church of the New Testament is the body of Christ. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus in chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, says of God and of Christ, "And he put all things in subjection under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Now, in the New Testament, we see the church pictured as a vine. We see the church pictured as a temple. We see it pictured as the bride and as the body of Christ. Each one of these figures carries with it special teaching concerning the construction of the church or the work of the church or the relationship of the church to God and to Christ. Paul also wrote in Colossians 1, verse 18, concerning Christ, "And he is the head of the body, the church, which is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." Now, there are men that contend that the church is of no importance. They have failed to realize what the church really is and what its relationship is to God and what it means in God's scheme of redemption. Just what does it mean for Paul to say that the church is the body of Christ? What significance does that carry? How does it fit into our seeking of acceptance by God? There are several reasons why we cannot, in the light of the Scripture, say that the church is of no importance. The first is that all spiritual blessings are found in Christ, in his body, therefore in the church. In verse 3 of chapter 1 of Ephesians, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Notice that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. And if all spiritual blessings are in Christ, then there are no spiritual blessings outside of Christ. If I said that I have all of my money in the bank, which wouldn't be a whole lot, that would mean that I had no money outside of the bank. Or if I said all of my books are in my office, then I'd have no books outside of my office. Well, all spiritual blessings are in Christ. Then Paul said in verse 23 that the body of Christ is the church. Then all spiritual blessings are in the church. We learn in geometry that things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. Well, the body of Christ is the church. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. Then all spiritual blessings are in the church. And can you honestly believe that the church is of no importance? When the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said that all spiritual blessings are in the body. A second reason why we could not say that the church is of no importance are found in the words in chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 23. Here we read, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ also is the head of the church, being himself the Savior of the body." Now, could one honestly believe that there is not any importance attached to the church, knowing that Christ is the Savior of the church, his body? If Christ is the Savior of the body is the church, then the church is made up of those who are saved. The saved are saints. That's what the word saint means. One who's saved, one who's been sanctified. And writing to the Ephesians, in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, through the will of God, to the saints that are at Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. Then in chapter 5, verse 30, we are members of his body. Then the saints are the saved. The faithful in Christ Jesus are members of the body, members of the church. And if the church is made up of those who are saved, and it is, and those who are sanctified, and it is, and Christ is the Savior of the church, and all spiritual blessings are in the church, then we conclude that there's no institution greater, there's no institution that is purer, or institution that contains more hope and more blessings than the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I resent any man when he says he doesn't believe that there is any value to the church. For in the words of the Apostle Paul in Acts 20, verse 28, "Take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of the Lord, which he purchased with his own blood." Christ purchased the church with his blood. And the church is not just so much mechanism or so much organization. It's the divine body of Jesus Christ. Then, if you have the right to all spiritual blessings, if Christ is your Savior, if you're a member of his body, then you're in the church. Or we can turn it around and say, if you're in the church, then you have been cleansed from your sins. You're a member of His body. You have a right to all spiritual blessings. But someone says, well, preacher, how do you get into the church? How can I be saved? How can I become a member of the body of Christ? Well, first, I'd point you to the fact that you cannot join it. You may join some civic organization, may join some other institution, but the church is the body of Christ is not an institution which you can join yourself. For a physical body to come into existence, it must be created by the hand of God. In the beginning, God took from the dust of the ground, fashioned a man, breathed his nostrils the breath of life. Adam became a living soul. From Adam's rib, He made Eve, His wife, and everything from the beginning of time has been by God's creation. A man couldn't say, I want a third arm and have the doctors attach it to his body. Neither can a man say, I want to join the body of Christ, the church. It must be by God's creation, by God's addition. In Acts 2, the gospel was preached and men were convicted of their sins. And they asked what they must do to be saved. Now, they already believed. They expressed their faith by their question, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then they were commanded by Peter in verse 38 of Acts 2, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then in verse 41, they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Then again in verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now notice a moment ago, Paul said that Christ is the Savior of the body. The body is the church. And the inspired writer of Acts said in Acts 2 that when men were saved, the Lord added them to the church. Then the same thing that saves a man puts him in the church. The same thing that puts a man in the church is the same thing that saves him. For you to become a member of the church, you must do that which the Lord has commanded you. Your being added to the church is dependent upon your obedience, even as your salvation is dependent upon obedience. Remember Hebrews 5 verse 9. Being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them who believe Him. No, notice, unto all them who obey Him. In New Testament times, when men had heard the gospel, when they had believed, had confessed their faith, repented of their sins, then they were fit subjects to be baptized. That was the case of Cornelius in Acts 10, the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8, the Philippian jailer in Acts 16, Saul of Tarsus, Acts 9. In fact, every case of conversion in the New Testament. And Paul throws further light on how we become a part of Christ in Galatians 3, verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. In Romans 6, 3, or are you ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Friend, the only thing that we could honestly conclude is that a man could become a part of Christ, therefore a Christian, is for him upon his faith, his repentance, his confession, to be baptized into Christ. He's not joined the church, but through obedience to the commands of Christ, God adds him by spiritual creation to the body of Christ. And let us understand fully these facts that the church is the body of Christ, and that for us to be a part of the body, the church, we will be saved, we'll be sanctified, we'll have a right to all spiritual blessings that are within Christ, and we'll be within His body, being His church, through our obedience to commands of the Lord, through our belief, through our repentance, through our confession, through our baptism, through our faithful Christian living. But once a part of the body, we began to realize several other important facts as to the relationship with Christ and to other members of the body. The first is that we as the body have one head, Jesus Christ. On the Mount of Transfiguration, God said to Peter, James, and John, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. And Christ said in Matthew 28, verse 18, all power, or all authority hath been given unto Me in heaven and on earth. And in our text for today, God put all things in subjection under Christ, gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. And as the head rules the body, then Christ rules the church. We must not assume authority for anything we do in the name of Christ. If Christ is head over all things to the church, then that does not leave any place for any earthly monarch or any earthly spiritual ruler. No matter how good a man may be, Christ has never given authority, and I cannot assume the authority to legislate in Christianity. As a preacher of the gospel, I'm limited by the words of Christ and the apostles to preach the word. In Jude 3, "Beloved, while I was giving all diligence to write unto you of our common salvation, it was needful to write unto you to exhort you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints." Now the word faith here carries with the idea the doctrines or the commandments of Christ. And for any to assume that I can change the commands of Christ or that I can make new ones when the doctrine has already been delivered once for all would be to assume authority that just is not there. Men who will command religious rites and rituals and at the same time admit that they are not found in the New Testament, but that they are the commands and the directives of an earthly spiritual leader or of a religious order, are really showing their contempt for Christ and His authority. And He warned, the Holy Spirit warned in Galatians 1 verse 8, "Though we or an angel from heaven preach unto you any other gospel than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." The church is important. The church, the bride of Christ. The church, the body of Christ, in which are all spiritual blessings. Are you in that church?